T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard. Thank you for coming to another episode of the Launch Sequence Podcast. I'm your host, Space Tomato, and we're going to talk about space stuff today. We're doing today's show live. We don't usually do them live, but sometimes we decide to weather the internet problems and have a discussion with chat. Today I'm bringing on a guest that's been here before, talked a lot about actually refueling more in the past, and we'll get to that today. But today the focus is on cargo, specifically what cargo looks like in Star Citizen right now, your cargo hauling, but also what it's going to look like. It's going to change a lot this year, and it's going to change in multiple ways that we'll go into detail today. So thank you for coming, anybody who is listening or watching on YouTube. And thank you, Segelian, for joining me today. How are you doing, man?
Hey, thanks so much for having me here today. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, no complaints. I got about 4 or 5 cargo runs completed before the start of this podcast. So I was pretty happy.
Not bad. Nice little warm up for the discussion.
That's exactly what it was.
Good. You were live on the channel?
I was on Twitch. Yep. Yeah. I'm always on Twitch. I'm always doing cargo runs on Twitch. So yeah, you can catch me there.
How's the streaming been going so far? Or I guess lately?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Being on Twitch is like a roller coaster because it changes over time. You know, your community changes over time. The game changes over time and you got to roll with those punches. You know, one of the biggest changes I've ever seen on Twitch is after CitizenCon. And I don't know, I have new friends. I've lost some friends. You get a lot more attention. I don't know. Things change. It's hard to describe. Did you experience that as well?
Yeah. I mean, the community changes all the time and for a multitude of different reasons. Some people, you know, a lot of the communities that form in Star Citizen are based heavily around Star Citizen. It takes up a lot of your time. So if people fall off of Star Citizen, a lot of times they might become inactive in the community and maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't. But I think that's one of the biggest reasons. There's also, obviously, there's always misunderstandings, disagreements. Maybe you want to go in a different direction in terms of gameplay and things are changing. But I will say, I think that since CitizenCon, we've seen a big shift in the community in terms of the demographics of who's active. Like, one of the interesting parts of last year was the decline in players joining by percentage. So like the previous year was a big year because of the Elite Dangerous Exodus and everything. This year was a lot less quiet with 20% less players joining, but I feel like a lot of older players did get active again, and that has changed some of the vibe of the community and the selection of people you'll see hopping into the conversations now as opposed to like 4 or 6 months ago.
That's true. Yeah. I wonder if that's the acts of CIG. Like, is their marketing campaigns different where they're attracting different people?
Yeah, I keep saying that about CitizenCon is like, it felt like they just got a different team to do the CitizenCon presentation. I'm sure they've improved on their own and done good things to increase their ability to put out good marketing. But this CitizenCon, you can see it just from the reactions and regular people, how they've reacted to the Star Engine demo. Clearly, CIG figured out a much better way to present themselves this year. And I think that on top of the actual progress on Squadrons, encouraged a lot of people to come back because, hey, something might actually happen next year or soon, TM.
12 months, countdown started, hey?
Yep. What are your feelings on that? How do you feel about, before we get into really cargo, I guess, just general feelings about the game since CitizenCon, maybe after the turbulent last year and kind of looking forward into this year with Squadron 42, what's on your mind?
I'm a big believer in, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm sorry if that sounds pessimistic, but I try to focus on the present. I try to enjoy the game that we have today. And, you know, I look at the YouTubers for theory crafting because that kind of keeps my hopes alive, I suppose. I love all the new stuff that the YouTubers such as yourself are capable of creating. That's a skill. And I've said that to board gamers as well. Like, the ability to theory craft is a skill. And it's needed because it paints the future for us. And we know we need a happy future. So I'm a fan of believe it when I see it. I focus on the trade, you know, trade prices, supply and demand, and that's all there is to it. You know, fueling is a whole, like, that's a pie in the sky idea. And whenever it happens, I'll be here for it.
Well, see, one of the things that I feel like they've done differently this year that did help attract people was that they finally did show Squadron 42 playing like an actual game.
That's true. So, hey,
as a believe it when you see it kind of person, I know you mean believe it when you play it. But did that help? Did that move the scale for you that you actually saw Squadron being played now?
I don't really care so much about Squadron. It's not really my cup of tea. But I'm very much I understand the enthusiasm from the community, and I felt like the community really needed that. That could have potentially bought them 5 more years of trust in the community, or community trust, because, you know, they just needed the taste, and I didn't really think we were going to get it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the people are talking about it on Reddit before CitizenCon. Some people were like, no, there'll never be a Squadron 42 demo, you know? So I think it was a pretty big surprise. It's fine. It's good. Were you happy with it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it.
Did you see the parody of it as well?
Mm-hmm.
About...
yeah. Yeah. No, the gosh, I can't remember what it's called, but the YouTube channel that does those parodies.
that was good.
Do you see Squadron as, you said you're not really too interested in Squadron, but when you see it making progress, do you also see that as progress for Star Citizen, or
are you? I hope so. I don't think it means anything, but though, because, you know, I was talking with Brian Chambers at CitizenCon about it. All he talks about is CitizenCon, or was Squadron 42. And I'm like, dude, I don't know anything about Squadron. You know, I'm here for Star Citizen, and that's it. You know, and it's like his life's work, and he's so passionate about it. But I honestly, like, it's just going to be another first-person shooter game with Gillian Anderson, so I'll show up for Gillian Anderson. Here's a question. Do you think there'll be a passive mode of Squadron 42? Like, can I play it without using a gun?
No.
Hmm. Challenge accepted.
I feel like, I think you might get court-martialed.
Court-martialed, really?
Yeah, you're like telling your officer, I'm not using the gun. I'm going to negotiate my way out of this. I've got such high charisma. Yep. You don't know.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, well, where's the fidelity? This is an RPG.
If I get court-martialed, does that mean I join the bad guy team then? And then I come back against Squadron 42?
Nah, that's the game over screen. You got to start over now.
Game over seems like low fidelity. That's cop out.
Well, but that's why Squadron's not your game, right? You are looking for the overwhelming or the overarching experience as opposed to the military campaign. And like, people who are interested in Star Citizen should know Squadron is the more polished version, but it's also the military version, and it might not be for you. But I'm very excited for it because all of that stuff, it's the same game engine, right? So Brian Chambers is super passionate about Squadron 42, but when he's working with his team, I think he's Foundry 42, right? When he's working with his team, and their studio, yeah, he's Manchester, I believe. Is he Manchester? No, Brian Chambers is Austin.
I thought he was Frankfurt, to be honest, but now I don't even know if the Frankfurt office exists.
No, yeah, he might have been Frankfurt, Foundry 40. I don't, either way, when he's working with his team, right, and he's putting that passion to work, he's got, let's say, 20 people that he can dedicate to a gameplay feature. His passion for Squadron 42 is still going to drive that gameplay feature to be good for Star Citizen,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah.
So, like, when I'm seeing polished reloading, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but... polished reloading, FPS stuff, scanning mechanics, maps. Like, I'm still imagining that, using that myself in Star Citizen.
Yep. Get that map soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
We need it.
As a cargo hauler, I'm sure you are done with the map.
I'm so used to it, though. I couldn't imagine not having this crappy map. You know, I use it, and I'm like, geez, I wonder if, like, the new people are able to use this map, because it's pretty squirrely, and I need it, so.
It's a bad map. I mean, it was made for like when we had one planet and not that many places to travel to. It's just outdated.
So true.
After last year, not including CitizenCon, what were your thoughts on Star Citizen?
Last year, so
23 with PES causing havoc and the summer being a little bit light.
Right, the period of low confidence in the project. Like, I think that's the lowest I've ever seen. It was like August of last year. But like, August is usually a downtime for Star Citizen, but I think this was the worst bin. I think they really needed that S42 sizzle reel almost. I thought we'd get Pyro for Christmas. Just for fun, like the tech preview, I thought they'd give it to Christmas. I was a little disappointed by that, I think. That would have been made a fun Christmas time, even if it was broken as heck.
Yeah, but then they would have had to stay in the office over Christmas to make sure it worked.
Okay, but they had an avocado launch on like January 2nd, so somebody must have been in the office.
Yeah, you only need 2 folks for avocados. You need like 30 for pyro. I don't know. Yes. I don't actually know how it works.
Probably.
But It would be, I hope they do run another preview sometime soon and maybe include one or two new features there, but I feel like mostly it's just, it's good for marketing, the preview channel.
That's true. Yeah. You know, and they could use it at any point. If there's a low confidence level in the project, they could just throw out the tech preview and all of a sudden that'll bump the confidence back up.
There you go. Just give us the Banner Merchantman on the tech preview. Nothing else. Oh my. Just the Banner Merchantman.
I guess.
Just let us walk around inside of it and you're saved.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So we've been hovering around the CitizenCon extravaganza that came out with a lot of info. And I think one of the biggest things that came out of there was a solid understanding that CIG is finally going to focus on cargo hauling as a profession, as a career path, as something more than just, yeah, you can do that, just don't worry about 30Ks. Like, it's becoming a real thing. And so today's discussion, while I want to talk a lot about how it feels to cargo haul right now, I want to get into kind of the stage that they've set for what cargo hauling will be looking like as we go forward. For starters, I just ask you straight up, what does it look like right now, cargo hauling in general? For somebody who's like a Euro Truck Simulator fan and also liked Elite Dangerous, and they're looking for that high fidelity first person space trucking adventure, is this in a place for them just yet?
That's a good question. I don't know. It depends how strong their will is. You know, it's a psychological thing. Do you have the patience to endure it? But I mean, cargo hasn't changed in 5 years. 6 years. 3.0 is 6 years ago. So it hasn't changed in 6 years. We're playing the same game since then. And it's just a matter of them increasing the supply and demand in certain places, introducing new commodities, new prices. And that's about it. So yeah. If they are going to incorporate missions, and that'll dramatically change things. You know, I wonder if we'll still have the same game we have after they add missions and all the other things that they want to do. Like, you know, it would be really nice. I would love it if we could go to the commodity terminal, purchase the commodity, then all of a sudden, magically, all the commodities appear next to the spaceship. And that's when the next game starts of loading the spaceship. That's, you know, another mini game.
Yeah.
And then the one after that would be the unloading mini game. And then you have to go and sell. Similar to, I guess, what we have with the Hull C right now, but we can't remove or add the boxes from it. So yeah, I guess what we have now is one game, whereas in the future, we might have three or four mini games out of it.
Yeah. It's interesting you think of cargo hauler as a single role, but there's kind of like a logistics person involved too, because you got the hauler who's flying and making decisions, but then there's the person who's actually moving the boxes physically. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting thought when you think of like cargo ships. You might need a couple extra beds for your crew as opposed to just you like going back and forth with a bunch of boxes.
I don't know if that makes sense though, because if I went to Everest to pick up and buy, then you would think that Everest has these people who are loading, like somebody in an Argo who's always at Everest. Maybe you send them 100,000 credits or something to load your spaceship for you. And maybe that's how it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a diegetic gameplay or whatever they call that? Something like that.
Yeah, but if they... I would hope, I guess, that they would have services at each of these places, but you'd also be able to just say no to those services and use your own. Because like it would be nice if you could go to R-Corp and they would have, you know, facilities that could take care of the job, but maybe you're in an org and you've got two people who you've already got an agreement with that can do it for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yep. Give us the options, I suppose. But, you know, there's another part of this too, I think. Something we kind of theory-crafted years ago, fantasized, the server blades. And like, maybe there will be a server blade in my spaceship that allows me to do the transactions remotely. So I don't need to actually go into a space station to buy or to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Just a matter of like doing it through the server blade, like a modem. And then we have to go and move the boxes manually after that.
Yeah, and they've mentioned like apps that we can use to track the prices of items at different space stations. You said that over the years, the only differences they made with cargo hauling have been like changing up commodity prices and stuff like that. I think it was maybe 2 years ago they added in the ability for us to see updating prices in real time. Have you noticed those, or not in real time? You know, the commodity tracker or whatever it is, they give you like a couple of different materials that they'll give you prices of.
You mean that pop-up
Yeah.
Like the, yeah. I haven't used that since it first came out, to be honest. Those commodities are crap. You don't get much off of them. I don't really know why they added that. Like, does anybody out there use those things?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the biggest thing with cargo hauling, at least for me, and for anybody else really who doesn't do it, is that we see some little things that could point towards cargo hauling being interesting. And it's kind of a question of, are these things actually interesting and nobody has found ways to exploit them? Or are they just in the game and they don't really make much sense? Because at some point, every trade route is going to look bleh until that smart cargo hauler can figure out what the best way to use it is. So I don't even know at what point we can look at what CIG is doing and be like, oh yeah, okay, now I can see the economy's coming together and trade routes are making sense. But you haven't noticed anything that points to that in the last couple of years.
No, because people chase the meta too much. There's a lot of min-maxers out there. So, you know, they're going after RMC, before that Barrel, and then Laronite. And like, they don't really look at all the other trade routes out there. So I think they have a really big challenge on their hands to try to balance everything. So, you know, all of the commodities are worthwhile, because even if, you know, med supplies isn't a smart thing to trade, people still need it. So that commodity price has to reflect the amount of desire for that commodity. So there shouldn't be people just going after min-maxing. That's no good.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the case until we get crafting and base building, and people have reasons for other commodities besides just making money from them.
I think that could be algorithmic, though. Like, let's just simulate that until we actually crafting it. There's a lot of balancing that needs to happen, though. That's the thing. Okay, they'll add the crafting, and then we have this full quanta system, but they'll spend another year after that trying to balance it, because it'll be a lot.
Yeah, if it's just a year, I think we'll be blessed.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen Star Bitizen on Twitch around there, but I'm responsible for managing the trade data on that thing. And trying to balance that is like drinking from a fire hose. And I mean, this is only a small part of what actual Star Citizen has. So whoever's going to be responsible for the balancing the commodity is a hell of a job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of the economy that we haven't seen yet. Like the quantum simulation, we're waiting for a lot, but at the end of the day, they've only just added what, iron into the game last year. Like, they're clearly starting
to kind
of get this idea of actual commodities in the economy going on.
Iron's fun. Hey, have you done iron?
No.
That's
iron
a good one.
In terms of trading?
Yeah.
How is it working?
Doesn't. I can't remember who was in my stream yesterday. They told me they had a successful iron run that made 300,000 out of it. And I'm like, that's great, but I mean, it's like a 10 or 20% success rate on that, so it's hella sketch.
Because places aren't accepting?
It's broken. You can't sell. You just listen to Anna's voice on repeat trying to sell your stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's my stream. If anybody wants to listen to Anna on repeat, stop
innovative
by.
Creativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Microtech, yeah, constantly. That it's just on loop. Yeah, I mean... But that's what it sounds like for all cargo. So are there other commodities that are worth going for right now?
Oh, yeah. Barrel. I always recommend Barrel. Barrel is so safe. Barrel is what the titanium was 2 or 3 years ago. So
and
that's
why
great.
What was titanium 2 or 3 years ago? Like, what makes a good commodity to trade?
Yeah, titanium was a real safe place. So the nice thing was, is Laronite would be the meta. You'd buy Laronite whenever you could. And if you couldn't get enough Laronite, you would get titanium for everything else.
Aerial.
And I mean, if you just did straight titanium, I think with a C2 is like 120 or 130,000 credits. Something I can't remember off the top of my head now, but it's a decent amount. That's okay. You don't need any more than that. Now we have RMC where people are making millions in a trade run. So that kind of throws things off balance, makes titanium irrelevant. Titanium is the same profit margin that it was 2 or 3 years ago, by the way. So nothing's really changed there. It's just there's bigger and better commodities now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the Laronite rush. I would do a lot of aerial to Hurston deliveries, easy route, good money. So really, it's just kind of easy availability to sell and fairly high value per unit is what you're looking for right now in the game.
Yeah, right. Man, I got such good memories of all this stuff. Like, if you think about, I talk with other people in Star Citizen, they talk about going to these bunkers. It's like their fun stuff. And I'm like, hey, let's do something crazy and do med supply trade. You know, like that is absolute batshit. Like, let's go and do that. Like, that is my fun, my thrill. You know, people talk about diamond runs or something. I know all the places that sell diamonds. So it's like you go to these places, you get a unique experience. It's about 30 minutes of gameplay just to do diamond. And, you know, I've experienced that. I know that that is a fun run to do. And there's a whole bunch of these other runs out there.
All right. So sell the crowd then. Let's sell to our listeners. Why is cargo hauling the way to go in Star Citizen?
Because you love sunsets. That's why.
But it's screenshot simulator. Everybody's seeing sunsets.
Yep. So yeah, that's all I need to do.
Is it because you see so many different sunsets?
Beautiful. Man, I just fall in love with them every time. I never get sick of seeing the sunsets in Star Citizen. What's wrong with me?
How about mechanic-wise? What is it that's making, like you mentioned that these people going into bunkers and shooting. Maybe somebody wants more calm activity, but they don't want to do salvage. Is cargo hauling, like, what would you say is the reason for somebody to jump into cargo hauling?
It's the argument of violence porn versus money-making porn. You know, when you go into a first-person arena and start shooting stuff, you know, you're getting a high off of that, a chemical rush in your brain, you know, which is similar to violence. So that is the same for cargo running, except you're now getting that with making money. So if you really like making money in life, or you want to fantasize making money, that's cargo running. No violence needed.
Is it the most efficient way to make money, no violence?
No, it's not. But it's not about efficiency. Just about the fact that you can make it reliably and like within a decent time segment and no nonsense involved.
But if somebody wants to make the most money, they go somewhere else.
Yeah, I would do salvage. I mean, mining is still pretty good. The ERT missions will always be there. They're good. So no, it's not the most lucrative way of making
money. More if you want to relax and get on a
long journey. Sunsets.
You also still can run into combat though and violence.
Like, true, it does happen.
Have you been attacked by pirates? Do people, right now as a cargo hauler, is there any danger in that, or is it all from crashing and not being able to sell your stuff?
Crashing, yeah. You mean a crash with like terrain or crashes like CTD?
I'll leave you to figure that one out.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I've definitely been accosted a number of times. It doesn't happen very frequently, and I don't mean to like instigate anything, but I usually get once a quarter, I'll get pirated and stolen and blown up and all that stuff. It was actually great. The last time was Hannah. We all know Hannah. I had a C2. I think it was full of hefestonite. It was a pretty big haul. And I mean, when I do these runs, I don't expect to make money off, especially the haul C. It's almost suicide. So yeah, Hannah came, and that was Hannah's first time going after a haul C. So it was the first time for both of us. And what a cool experience it was. Yeah.
That's cool.
I didn't have a spacesuit on, because in the Hall C you don't need a spacesuit, which is the best part of the Hall C.
Until you fall to the floor.
That's true. So Hannah came and blew up, you know, a soft death. So I was still alive. I didn't have a spacesuit on. So I was floating around in the cockpit. You can't move around if you don't have a spacesuit on. So I was just stuck there and I couldn't do anything. And I messaged Hannah. I'm like, is it okay if I kill myself? Like, I'm kind of stuck in it. Does it count as a bed log or... You know, one of the bad things you're not supposed to do when you're pirating. I don't know all the rules, but I asked for permission to kill myself. And I was like, no, we'll send you an undersuit. We'll send you a spacesuit. So that's what they did. There was like three of them. And one of them came into the spaceship and gave me an undersuit so I could watch the whole thing unfold. And all of it was on stream. So there was actually a good, decent amount of people who watched the Hall C get all of the cargo pirated from it. You know, their tractor beams. Then we saw the 32 SU containers get loaded onto a Caterpillar, which is, you know, not very common to see. And that was the first time. That was back in September. That was a great experience. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, so as a cargo hauler, does it bother you to get your stuff stolen? Like, if the stakes were real and you didn't know who those pirates were, would that have been something that ruined your experience?
It's a hard thing to say, because, like, I have a muscle memory now. Like, I get pirated quarterly, so there's an expectation now to get pirated quarterly. Mm-hmm. The cost of doing business, first and foremost. There's definitely an emotional investment involved there, but at the same time, I feel kind of burnt out where, you know, it's just another day, job. I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay.
But it's an interesting, you actually make a really interesting point that it becomes a part of doing business and you expect it. And I feel like what a lot of people perceive from Star Citizen to be broken right now is suffering from that. The idea that Like when I mentioned that people should be able to play this game without ships,
yeah,
people are like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? Without, you know, there's no expectation that that's happening, so there's no support for it. People aren't flying around expecting to take people from station to station because nobody asks for it. People aren't flying around expecting to get paid to escort a hauler from point A to point B because, I mean, only just now, in the last 6 months, it's really become, for people like you as a cargo hauler, obvious that you need something like that. And a lot of the change that I think Star Citizen is going to see in the next few years are those sorts of things calling for the necessity of other things that weren't thought about as much. Logistics people with tractor beams, a medic on your combat mission, like an escort for your cargo hauling. And I think that's a really interesting part of the development in the at the point we're at right now.
I agree. I hope to see more of that. I think by allowing non-ship gameplay, you're extending the player base, or at least your audience, into a greater amount, kind of diversified a little bit. I just know, you know, I think about, like, if my dad were to play Star Citizen, he'd probably want to be like the space station repairman. He'd want to go and fix all the things, and that's it. You know, he probably would never want to go into a spaceship because it's probably too much work, you know? Mm-hmm. So he can just putz around a space station for 2 or 3 hours fixing stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
Town hero.
That would be cool. That's the kind of brevity that I think makes people want to play the game too. It's like, yeah, I like your cargo hauling, but I'd rather just fix your ship for you.
Squadron's not going to have that level of flexibility, I guess. It's going to be a combat game and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been mentioning the Hull C. When it comes to the cargo hauling, that's one of the biggest changes in the last year, that and the cargo refactor. Has that actually changed gameplay for you? Is it fun, or do you try to avoid it?
I do avoid it, but I mean, I feel responsible to do it. The next PTU patch that goes up, I'll definitely be like full-time into that. I mean, like, that's what I do. PTU happens. Let's test the Hull C. Let's report new bugs. There's been a number of bugs that were marked as completed for the Hull C between the periods of September to November. And we had resurrected those issue on the issue council. People on my stream, you know, we're all on board with this. We're all trying to iron out these bugs. They mark it as fixed. It's not fixed. So yeah, it's been a significant change on my channel, and I knew it would be. I remember a year ago saying, when the Hull C comes on, it's gonna be like format C colon. We're gonna be doing everything differently now. And I definitely think we're making steps towards that. But at the same time, Star Citizen's also changing, like with the whole RMC thing. The thing about RMC is the profit margin is so high on it, you don't need a C2 anymore. You don't need the biggest spaceship. You can comfortably make money in a cutter or an MSR. Like all, and the supply is available, the purchase power is available, so you can do that. Definitely opening things up quite a bit. I know that's not necessarily related to the Hull C, but I'm just saying that there's different things are changing, and we're responding to that change. They're putting more attention into it, though.
Okay.
When the Hull C is hardcore, though, and we're loading and unloading that thing, that'll be scary.
That I want to double down on what you were just mentioning, that things are changing. I think that's probably the most important thing we've talked about today, because yes, cargo hauling itself hasn't changed much in the last 5 years, but when you take all the things that have changed, a lot of those have been in the last 12 months. You said that the Hull C has its problems. Can you see how it is actually going to be different from other ships in terms of, like, it's supposed to be the sort of workhorse that's everywhere and transporting stuff all over the place? Do you see that ship having its own game loop?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, every ship I think is going to have a game loop. Like, look at the Caterpillar. It's definitely going to have a full-time engineer. I mean, you could say the Gunner too, maybe. Tractor beam operator will probably be a full-time gig, and then flying it. You could argue that a comms officer could also be required.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a whole game just there operating a spaceship.
So what kind of interesting things have you found in the Hull C that you foresee some people taking jobs at?
It just changes your way of thinking when you're not in a spacesuit. Like, you're not in an undersuit anymore. You don't need to be in an undersuit. It's like, I felt free. I could wear what I want, do what I want. I don't know. I just felt a lot more free. I don't have that. Like, whenever I'm in doing a C2 cargo run, I always just be thinking about things. And it's like, okay, I did this. I have to do this. My next step is to do that. I have to make sure I have a helmet on, you know, and I forget the helmet 20% of the time. I forget my helmet. So but you don't have that with Hull C. I know it seems like so small and meaningless, but it's the smallest things that seem to make the biggest change. And like, if we're trying to do this stuff as quickly as possible, I have a 3-hour stream. I'm trying to cram as many cargo runs in as possible. Small things that make the big differences.
Yeah, it does. And it makes it feel kind of like that's a home for you.
Oh, it totally does. Yeah.
What kind of, I guess, getting a little bit off the topic of 2023, but really what kind of changes do you foresee that make that process or that time in between destinations more interesting for the cargo hauler?
I don't know if there's going to be much more than that. I think there might be less in the future. That's what I mean. Like if we get the server blades in and we can do transactions remotely, then we don't need to go in space stations anymore. That would be kind of nice. So that downtime might not exist. The downtime might be loading and unloading time instead. Mm-hmm. So if you spend 10 minutes technically at a spaceport, then your loading and unloading time might be the majority of that. But one thing that I think is going to be just totally game changing is going to be the freight elevators. And I think everybody knows this. So that is going to be the next thing we see in 2024 with cargo.
Yeah. And that loading and unloading really is arguably the biggest gameplay change to Star Citizen in 2023. The physical loading of boxes is a major change to how a lot of people expect the game to play and also how Star Citizen is played. And I saw in chat who recently somebody mentioned they're not fans of that as a sort of a time sink. What are your thoughts on the idea of manually loading and unloading and just transferring physically all of our cargo and items everywhere we go?
I'm not a fudster. I'm not going to cling to anxiety just for the sake of clinging to anxiety. It doesn't exist right now, so I'm not going to worry about it. There's a number of different ways to solve these problems, and there's no sense kind of worrying about the minutiae. I trust CIG. If they don't get it right on the first time, they'll get it right on the second time, or the third, or the fourth. I think they'll somehow find a way to make an enjoyable experience regardless.
Do you think that the profession need these sorts of things? I prefer not to call them time sinks, but these sort of like in-depth parts of the gameplay.
I remember CitizenCon in Austin, the person I was with at the time, they literally rage left CitizenCon because they couldn't stand the fact that we were going in like elevators and trains and like we were wasting our time.
Yeah.
Trains and elevators. Like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I'm not participating. But, you know, every game kind of has time sinks. You know, everything is kind of, this is just the way of Star Citizen. I mean, this is Fidelity and Fidelity has time sinks. So this is what we sign up for. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's from the beginning, Chris has always, and CIG themselves have always been very much about like trying to make it seamless. And it's hard to make a seamless game if you're not showing people everything that's happening.
Exactly. It's immersion. That's what immersion is. Don't fast forward the immersion.
Yeah. I think it's good to balance it. Money or time. You know, if you don't want to have things manually loaded, then you pay to have somebody else load it.
That's true too. Yeah.
But I also feel like manually loading stuff is the kind of thing that actually will come up for regular players more than cargo haulers, because cargo haulers will be super used to it. But when your regular player comes across some like loot they really want and they want to put it in their ship, picking that one or two boxes up with the tractor beam, I just don't see it being that big of a problem when you're in the middle of the gameplay like that.
Also, I wish there was more multi-crew capability with cargo running. So I would love to call up some people from chat being like, hey, you want to load up my ship today? Pay 100,000 credits. Do it.
Yeah. Can't wait until it's that easy. Like to put out a beacon or something. And
sure.
Just, somebody can just sign up to come do that. Because right now you get in a global chat. You're like, hey, you want to do this? And they're like, okay, where are you? And you tell them where you are. They're like, all right, what ship are you using? Okay, can I bring a friend? Like all these things, when really you just want them to be able to come there and do it, and like you don't even have to hop into voice chat.
I think I've noticed less of this in the past 6 months than I've ever seen in Star Citizen. Like less collaboration. Have you noticed that? Or
I think I've noticed global chat being a little bit more, not hostile, but yeah, less. Hey, let's all do something. I think people are getting more used to finding their friends outside of the game and bringing them in. But chat's also kind of gotten more not great over the last couple of years. I'd say since like 2020, really since the population started to explode more, it's gotten a little bit less desirable.
Wait till we got like 1,000 people in the server. I wonder what chat's gonna be like then.
we just need self-mod tools, you know? I guess everybody should be able to be in there, but the idea that CIG has this like public game experience where you can't just stop someone from messaging you is a bit annoying. I'm glad they've started to add that. Like just now, we just got the ability to block invites, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
322, maybe they added that in. Yeah, so they're like starting to get that in, but the experience can be a little rough.
Yes. It's a grown-up game. It's an adult game.
It is. Back to cargo hauling. We were talking about the 2023 changes, and I wanted to kind of rope in one of the other earlier changes they had mentioned, and that was the mystical and magical Tony Z. He got up on the screen and gave everybody some news about how the quantum economy was going to include commodity differences in refuel and repair, I believe that was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed anything at all that has to do with that?
No, I didn't even track the fuel prices when I was doing refueling. I didn't even track the prices.
We never got fuel as a commodity to trade, right? So it's like...
Yeah, you could trade hydrogen if you want. It's a different price, though, what you buy at the space station.
Okay, so then it's not even... Yeah, so it was entirely on the refueling side. It was not at all on the commodity side.
But they should be the same. I was saying this in the stream yesterday, is like... The only way space station should refuel is if there's a player supplying them with fuel, right? That should be like a mission right there. It's like, oh, Everest requires some fuel. Someone trades fuel to it or something.
See, yeah, and that's cargo hauling. Like,
yeah,
the game should be like, it should tie into the economy and read that there is a demand and then put out a public beacon. But like, it gets so complicated when I start thinking about the details. We'll kind of jump into the future of cargo hauling, at least what we like to think of as the future, from what we've seen. But
it should be complicated. We live in 2024, and like us to be satisfied with a 1990s game is unacceptable.
True. So here's where my brain turns into a pretzel. Maybe you can answer this for me. When I'm thinking about a cargo hauling mission in Stanton, imagining Crusader needs steel. They're building a bunch of ships and they need a bunch of all these types of things, but one of the things they need is steel. They've got a demand for steel on Orison. So if Orison has a demand for steel, and the way the game is supposed to work is that missions propagate based on comm lines, that means that Orison will put out a request for steel to be delivered. If somebody accepts that, let's say they're at Crusader L1. So they're like 2 million kilometers out from Orison. Will that person get the same mission as the person at Seraphim? Because the whole point of these stations is that hull seas should be hauling from Bygini Point to Seraphim. And then something like a C2 or something made for atmospheric travel would haul from Seraphim down to the city in Orison. So if Orison needs material, would they send that to Seraphim, who then sends it out to all the other stations? Or would Orison send out a mission that you can see from Hurston and Bygini and Port Tressler and even Seraphim? Because they want cargo to work differently on different scales, but I don't understand how you would get the mission for that scale. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, back in the olden days, we used to have like a job board, like in SWG, we had a job board. It wasn't localized, so you could get a job from anywhere. And I think that should apply. I think it should just be like a system-wide job board. I think right now it's too kind of localized. Like I know Microtech has different missions than Hurston or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if that applies to cargo because we're moving in between, well, planets, moons, and systems. So it should just be a global job board. If you like to run iron or steel, then, you know, just run, or maybe you have all of the equipment for steel specifically. That's the right way to do it. So if you're moving fluids, you should have a ship that's geared for fluids,
right?
Versus commodities versus ships, or, you know, equipment like guns or something that might need a different type of logistical configuration. I think that's too specific right now. I think it should be a lot more global for issuing a mission.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's weird because it has to, the way they have the game set up, it has to be on the player. They want players to be able to take anything, any mission in any ship, and then deal with the consequences of selecting the wrong ship. So I'm thinking, like, if somebody was supposed to be delivering a bunch of cargo straight to Orison, but they got the job at Hurston, they wouldn't realize that they need to actually drop that stuff off at Seraphim. They might just actually try and drive their ship all the way to Orison. And maybe with Orison, it would work with docking ports. But, like, if you try to take a hull sea to Everest, it wouldn't work.
That can't happen. Yeah, that shouldn't happen. But, like, at the same time, a person and a freelancer shouldn't accept a mission for, like, 6,000 SEU.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or maybe they should, but it just takes them an hour or something to do it.
Right. And then it's like, okay, so in that freelancer, are you delivering it to the city that called for it or the cargo depot up overhead? Like, the way they have to figure out missions is going to be really interesting. And I don't envy whoever's doing it.
Yep. That's us, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Tanko DJ said hauling water. Yeah, water should be a big commodity for trading. We don't even talk about it.
Yeah. It should be huge. Like, that should be one of the main things we're transporting, right?
Think about how much water the planet of ArcCorp consumes daily.
I mean, not even just for the people, but, like, all the manufacturing, too.
Sure.
Holy crap.
Right? That's a whole, like, that could be cargo right there, just the one planet. That could be a challenge.
Oh my
Try
gosh.
To keep it before they consume it.
See, that's the kind of thing that I feel like it would be regular missions that would easily be able to be like, okay, we're just getting water from literally any place. And then bring it to Bajini Point. And then they have another set of missions for, like, your freelancers that are bringing them from Bajini Point to all the different cities. That seems like a constant mission that could run. But when it comes to, like, oh, there's a supply shortage here and we need additional supplies, I'm really interested to see how those propagate.
God, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see culture extend from that, too. Like, what if there was an org called the Water Runners and that's all they did was just water missions all the time?
Water
boys. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned it in the chat. They asked about how missions would also transfer between systems. That's actually something that they talked about a long time ago. 2013, there was a video that came out. This is part of how data runners will factor in. Data is not supposed to be easily transferable between systems and jump points. So part of the job of a data runner would be updating prices and mission boards in between systems. And hopefully, I mean, again, this is once again leading it into the hands of the players. At least on a 9-to-1 ratio, NPCs and AI will be picking up some of the work, but we'll be doing a lot of it. And it's like, if we got to keep missions updated in other systems, there's a lot of questions, I think, that come with that.
Complicated.
Yeah.
I hope I don't see that whole NPC thing anytime soon. Like, I hope that's a 10-year goal, because it seems that so much else needs to be done before then. That's almost an autonomy. This NPC gameplay, and, you know, we don't even have the systems anywhere near close to that level yet, so I hope we don't see that.
NPCs, yeah. I'd like the AI simulation at least to be working in the background. Like, they don't have to be the NPCs doing it, but just to know that the verse is alive without us, I think it would be a nice step forward for the game.
Are you just referring to, like, ships flying around, NPC ships?
Mostly, like what we're talking about today, like the supply and demand of places is simulated, and like the fact, like, if you were to clear out an area, the faction would actually simulate maybe that they've moved into that area or stuff like that. Like, I don't need to see ships flying around everywhere. I don't need to see people all over space stations if the game can't handle that, but being able to simulate what those things are supposed to represent would be cool.
Yeah, I agree. Ship it,
put it out. Another thing that we've talked about with cargo futures is kind of what you were mentioning there with water. And I've got a list here of the different properties and commodities that they are planning for the game. Not planning, they've suggested for the game. I'm going to go through the properties list, and I want you to tell me one thing that you can see them really expanding on to make cargo hauling more interesting.
Okay.
So we have value or rarity, obviously. Perishability and due to time, perishability due to atmospheres, fragility, volatility like explosive cargo, radioactive and toxic cargo, quantum sensitive cargo, cargo with questionable legal status. And it looks like that is our list.
I'm a big fan of radioactives. I think it's kind of cool. Like if you do radioactives, then I think you really need a special type of equipment to do that. I think anything that you need to adjust your spaceship to accommodate, I think extends the gameplay by a lot, because not only are you modifying your spaceship for this, it's kind of like you want to persist. You only want to modify your spaceship so many times because there's an expense and a time investment involved. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to be a liquid transporter, or you're going to be a radioactive transporter. You could always modify your ship afterwards. But I just see a lot more gameplay moving in that kind of specialization. I hope for that anyways. I'd love to transport radioactives around.
Yeah. Being able to have like a special container you have to put the boxes in.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly. I hope they do that. Do you remember there was a concept artwork a long time ago with the Hull C, and it had 300 eyes mounted on the cargo?
No, I remember seeing that one.
Yeah. But that'd be really cool in the future where we're shipping ships.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about how many ships are being reclaimed every hour. Like we would have to deliver those ships to their, you know, where they're getting reclaimed at. Mm-hmm. Or there always has to be an inventory at spaceports for the ships to be at, and we would have to restore that inventory.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting idea, because they've talked about that. And the whole idea that like if you're in the wrong system, it'll be harder to claim the ship. And that's more content for cargo haulers.
Oh yeah, could be.
That's pretty cool. So I think radioactive and toxicity is a pretty cool one, because it calls for you to kind of be more specialized. What did you think of the effects they added for that? Like the actor status radioactive stuff that they were doing during CitizenCon.
Yeah, I think that was the tip of the iceberg. I think they just were inspiring us to show what's possible. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really glad we're moving in that direction. There's so much radiation in space. And like Fallout does a great job of incorporating radiation into its gameplay. And there's a lot that we could possibly take from that. Maybe. I love the solar flare. It was great. I don't know if you heard that part of that or not.
I experienced it one time, maybe.
Yeah.
Not when I was at CitizenCon, though. But yeah, that was interesting.
It is interesting. Hey, what was your heart rate like while experiencing that?
God, I don't even really remember that well. I was on the ground. I was on an outpost already, so I was like pretty safe. But I find this idea of global effects and I think that's a really good way for them to continue to draw emphasis to the fact that everybody's in the same world. Doing things where everybody will experience them at the same time is, I think, part of what people really were amazed by when Fortnite kind of got more popular. Because Fortnite would go and they'd launch a new season and that event would happen at the same time for everyone. They'd all stop the game and look up at it. And those kinds of things are like, you couldn't do that before 6 or 7 years ago. It's like a very new way of displaying how games can be connective. And I think the solar flare is like a pretty trivial way of doing that, but it's a really cool idea.
In Fortnite, did it stop combat when that event happened?
No, I don't believe it did. I wasn't playing at that time. I just saw videos, but I'm pretty sure the game could continue to go.
Okay, but I'm just wondering if the people themselves would stop combat and like look at the sky or something for a brief moment.
From what I saw, but like everything, like I said, everything I saw was through videos. So I might have just been seeing the people who were stopping and not the people who kept fighting. But it did seem like a lot of people would stop and watch. Just maybe it was an unspoken rule. I don't know.
I was terrified. I was in my Caterpillar and I was screaming for dear life. I hope this ends. I hope I survive.
Did you? Were you in atmosphere?
Yeah, I was touched down. I was with another guy. I think it was Blingbot maybe. And they went inside the outpost. They were running for it. I was safe in my Caterpillar, but they weren't.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. You think it's a good one? You like that they're doing that in Pyro?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much of that in space. We need to see more of that. Maybe it was the frequency is a bit too high. I'd like to see more of an animation from the star itself whenever it has that. But obviously, it's an alpha. So it's cool. Cool, good steps.
Let's talk about base building.
Base building.
Because base building is going to factor into cargo hauling too, and trade. Every base we make is going to be part of the economic system. So when it comes to making sure those bases are running, people are going to have to hire cargo haulers. You guys in your group, do you imagine yourself being like contractors that can work for stuff like that? Or are you completely focused on your own?
Yeah, fuel. I'm interested in the base building, but I primarily want to use it for refining and storage of chemicals or fuel products. I don't want to run a logistics corporation or a logistics organization. I am a cook myself. I want to feed the spaceships with my fuel. And that's what there is. I do cargo running right now because I've been in Star Citizen for a long time and there's really not much else to do. And I don't like fighting or war, so I just do cargo running.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Yeah, you really want to get to refueling.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And that's what we talked about last time you were on the show.
Was refueling. Yeah. It was much better last time. I think we talked about it. Nothing has changed since then, so... it is what it is.
Refueling is, I mean, all of the industrial game loops have like basically not been a focus until just last year, right? Like it kind of started with salvage getting into the game, and now they're talking about engineering and updates to mining. Refueling is a weird one that still hasn't really been like, they say we need it for Pyro, but they haven't talked too much about it yet.
I mean, when I was in Pyro, I was doing refueling. So every time I go into Pyro going forward, I'll just do refueling. Okay. I don't want to keep track of the trade commodities in Pyro. It's too much work. I mean, God, it's so much work just managing one system and pick up a second system. There's got to be a limit somewhere.
Before we wrap things up here, I want to touch on kind of one more big topic when it comes to cargo hauling, and that is the difference between hauling and trading. The way they've been talking about it, they mostly focus on courier. So like you can't really haul in the game right now. You can only buy and trade stuff, but... we also have the courier missions, which allow you to not put money into it. Sounds like they want to expand that to cargo hauling. But in your own opinion, what kind of difference do you see between the gameplay for a courier versus a cargo hauler in the future?
No, I think that's great. I think they really need to put serious focus into this game loop because this will allow new players to start doing trade. And the box delivery missions are such a dumpster fire. They're always broken. I was talking to somebody yesterday about them. You know, it used to be such a viable way to make a living. I don't know if that's the same anymore. But like, this is a barrier of entry. If somehow they can make a progression around the courier gameplay, then you could courier your way all the way up from one SEU to, you know, 4,000 SEU, 6,000, whatever SEU. Yep. So I want to see more new players in. Right now, it's like only if you're a millionaire are you really going to do commodity trading.
Yeah. So you see the courier mission kind of just naturally progressing into cargo hauling missions.
Yeah, I think it's required. It would be really nice, though, if there was some type of incentive for those who are kind of wealthy. It's like, oh, I do have 1 million credits. I don't need to do missions, and I can just do regular commodity trading because I'm wealthy, you know? That'd be cool.
Yeah, and that would be the difference between the haulers and traders. Like, we want to have a subset of people who are focused on getting stuff from point A to point B but not wanting to fly the ships to do it.
That's true, too. Yep. Yeah.
Like people who are focused on finding the right percentages in commodities and making sure they can sell them in good, better places.
You know, those percentages, those could be subject to change due to the quantum system and due to variables of the solar system or whatever. So I don't know if that is going to exist in the future where there's going to be like cargo scouts where people find what the prices are when. I would hope that in 930 years, we would have a computer system that would tell us these volatility because, you know, we have to invest time and fuel to travel to these locations. It seems double the expense to get a scout to do that.
Yeah, but I'm the data runner. That's my gameplay.
Well, then you go and find rare places or rare things. You don't need to go and find cargo outposts.
But the same thing could be said about cargo haulers. Like cargo haulers could get most of their gameplay from finding the rare and very nice things that cost a lot of money or are valuable, or they could sell and trade the very, very common materials like iron or steel that anybody can use. I feel like a data runner could get the maybe not as important prices of iron for people, or they could be jumping for the more valuable stuff.
Anything's possible in the future, for sure. I hope that doesn't happen, because I think that kind of takes away from some elements.
Yeah. I think a lot of the gameplay that they're trying to do will take away from other people's. For instance, the cargo hauling being physically loading, that's kind of the reaction that people have who wanted to get into combat. I don't want to take away from my time doing combat and have to physically load these boxes. I want to be able to just shoot stuff and have stuff in my ship. And you got to tell them, well, there's a cargo hauling profession that there needs to be content for. And I think that the data running could be a good balance of, yeah, that data is there. You can get the prices of the place you're trying to go, but that price is an hour old.
And exactly. So it's worthless at that point.
It could be, but like, maybe it's not. Maybe nobody's gone there in an hour.
It's true. That's always possible. I guess that is needed right now. Like, if you were to be a scout and you were to see that person is capable of purchasing all, you know, 500 SEU of RMC, that's a valuable thing. But I hope that doesn't happen. It seems so weird.
Again, I think it's based more on different systems. So like a data runner would get that information out to Terra as opposed to delivering it to R Corp. So like, you might be able to see that there is a good price to deliver at, what were you saying? What city? Hurston?
Hurston, yeah.
Yeah, so like there's a good price to deliver at Hurston, and maybe you know that if you're in the system, but if you're in Terra, you'd need to go through some other extra means or talking to somebody or getting some info. And that still creates the gameplay for a data runner, but it doesn't hurt people who are in that same system.
That's funny. You're almost just like a logistics agent. I'll just call you up, be like, hey, what's the price of Hurston right now?
Yeah, I think that creates a lot of gameplay for data as a commodity.
Fingers crossed. Soon TM.
Always fingers crossed. All right. So that was kind of the future, I think, a decent look at the current and future of cargo. Before we head off, though, I want to talk to you about a couple of things coming up. We have the Damar Rally coming up in a couple of weeks, and I do want to probably do a launch sequence episode on that, so stay tuned, folks. We'll see if we can bring somebody in. But the Damar Rally is coming up, and you guys are offering your own services for that event. Is that correct?
We've been providing refueling services to the Damar Rally ever since the beginning. I'm a founding member of the Damar Rally, so it's been a heck of an experience. If anybody out there who can hear the sound of my voice are interested in flying the Starfarer, you know, with us at the Damar Rally, hit me up. I need to find 10 people. I only have 4 right now. I'm very interested in picking people up. And we have, I think, about 2 weeks before the rally, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yep. Damar Rally is put on by Atmo Esports. If you guys didn't know, they are, I would say, the biggest esports organization in Star Citizen. They've done amazing stuff both on the internet and also in person at CitizenCon. So if you haven't seen one before, definitely tune in. If you have seen one before, I'd still come and tune in. This is going to be an interesting one with a couple new gameplay elements and vehicle mix-ups over the last year and obviously refueling capabilities now in the game.
Every year is insane. It's so different every year. It's the biggest event in Star Citizen.
It really is. Yeah, I I've been in some very interesting scenarios. I remember, I think it was the second year I got to attend, and I usually just film. I don't actually go and race. But the second time I got to do it, I got to run along with Kane, and I think it was I was on the ground with him filming, and it was amazing. We saw the dog fights up above us as everything was just getting thrown into chaos. And it was a really cool, really, really cool moment. I think that's on video on YouTube, actually. But Damar Rally is amazing. If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
You still talk to Kane?
No. Actually, I haven't been in touch. That was a cool moment that we got to be together for. And he was on the video and everything.
I know. He won that. You know, he was a celebrity of that Damar Rally. And I haven't seen him since. I think he kind of went, he disappeared.
Retired.
Yeah. What a shenanigan that was, man.
He was he's just one of those people, you know. He comes in, makes a big scene, and then like a flash, he's gone. Everybody's wondering, is Kane still running?
Probably still running today. Yep. He ran all the way to Terra.
So yeah, that's going to be a cool event coming up later this month. And then want to talk about Bar Citizens, which are a great way to go and hang out with people, you know, from the Star Citizen community, meet some more new people. But you are a part of the group and you guys have some interesting new stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I've been working to try to get this for years now, and they made a decision about 2 months ago. So there's a new Bar Citizen website coming along, and it's going to be fracking awesome. You know, I'm just kind of waiting for CIG's legal team to sign off on everything that's going on. Yeah, so they let me build the new Star Bar Citizen website, and I'm so excited to have everyone show or to show it to everybody and everyone to use it and be kind of like a social media platform.
So who's the Bar Citizen website? Is it meant to be connected with CIG, or is it still part of the Bar Citizen group that works with CIG?
It's a complicated legal battle that I know nothing about because I'm a web developer. So I don't ever get into that political stuff.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah, legal stuff. I don't know. I honestly don't. So, you know, I just know that it's in the hands of the lawyers and we have to wait for the lawyers to come back.
Okay. Well, it's cool that, like, that's going to be something that maybe has a more official feel to it, like just a landing page for the website, because these bar citizens are going to start to explode.
I know, right? And I mean, let's foster that growth. There's a lot of cool things that we could be doing. And I feel like I've been trying to get this website for 2 years now. And I feel like, man, we've lost so many opportunities wasting time. Like, I just, like, let's build, like, let's make this community explode, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is the potential for the Star Citizen community is just about as much as the game. And that's, like, why most people come and play it, because the game's potential is crazy. But, like, there are a ton of people out there who want to just do random stuff in space. And if Star Citizen can make that possible, I think they'd also like to do random stuff at bars with us. So, yeah, I'm happy to hear it, man. That's cool.
Could I also just make one other shout out really quickly, if you don't mind? Please, sure. I have to. So if you're familiar with Angry PC Tech, he makes challenge coins out there in the Star Citizen universe. And there's one coin in particular called the Bar Citizen Challenge, the Star Bitizen Challenge coin. And he sent me a message, or Maiden Ariana sent me a message saying that Angry PC Tech is going to make one just for you, Space Tomato. And it's going to be specially branded just for you with Space Tomato Red. And he's going to send that to you. And I understand that he's going to send you a message, or Maiden's going to send you a message for more details on how to get that coin to you, that challenge coin to you.
That is awesome.
And I have to send you this link. I'll send it to you on Discord of what you're going to get. This is a big announcement happening right this.
Well, thank you. That is very cool. I appreciate that. Love a people be doing these challenge coins.
Oh, they're crazy. He's like an artist. He really is. There's the link. I just sent it.
It is it's a much cooler form of sticker. Although I do like.
Oh yeah, that's so true. Yeah. There's
Maiden.
No,
this looks really cool. It's got the it's got like a space design on it. It says Star Bitizen, chat engage. Battle trade. I love it, man. Thank you. That's really awesome. We'll definitely be in touch about that. I appreciate that. The Star Citizen is filled with like really creative and cool people.
I know, hey. Totally. Best. Well, I like to say the smartest people, the dumbest people, the healthiest, the unhealthiest, the richest, the poor. We're all here under the same roof together. So
no, you have to be rich to play this game, I was told.
Yeah, I guess. Pay to win. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I'd like to thank you one more time for joining the show. Thanks for being a fantastic guest. Great conversation. Cargo is going to be huge this year. And I think we're just touching the tip of the iceberg with this conversation. But hopefully in the next quarter, they'll tell us more about these missions and functionality they have planned. Best of luck to you with your endeavors at Damar Rally with the refueling. I hope to someday have your pizza because I've heard it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, next time. Let's Chef do Manchester.
Segalian. Yeah.
Let's do Manchester.
Let's do it.
Make it happen, yeah.
And before we head off, if you could just let folks know where they might find you online.
I'm on Twitch. I guess I live, breathe on Twitch. My life is on Twitch. So stop by my Twitch channel, Segalian, and I stream Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for having me on here, Space Tomato. You're one of my favorite people in all of Star Citizen. I'm very thankful you give me this opportunity.
Well, cheers. thank you for joining me. This show is not even a guilty pleasure, just a pleasure. That podcast, I never thought I'd be somebody who does podcasts, but I've fallen in love with just bringing some people on, bringing friends from around the community who are making content and talking about that content. So thanks again for joining me this time, last time, and probably in the future.
Hopefully soon.
All right, man. I hope you have a great week and a good day. To everybody else in the stream watching us live, thank you for coming and joining. Everybody who's watching after the fact or listening, we host these podcasts on YouTube and audio platforms, which have no ads. We also have two other podcasts, our monthly Citizen Central and our monthly Greenhouse, which are both with four guests and our community, respectively. So thanks again for listening to this podcast. Launch sequence, as always, we try to hit the big topics in a good way, and I think we did a good job today. Thanks again for joining me, Segalian. I'll catch you all next week. Bye.